Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Back to the Tennis Connected Studios for October 8th, 2016. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sammy, and we're here this week to preview the Shanghai Rolex Masters. This week's podcast is brought to you by Grand Slam Tennis Tours. Check them out for the upcoming Australian Open and have the best seats and hotels possible in Melbourne. Before we begin this week's show, let's introduce our co-host. Parsa, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Tennis is across the globe for us, and it's a different kind of season, but big news in Asia.
Yeah, it's trucking along. We're getting into now the third leg of the Asian swing on the ATP side. So we'll get into that draw quickly, Parsa. Since we spoke with everybody last, all of our listener base out there, been some interesting developments, so I just want to touch base quickly on those, okay, Parsa? So we've had, on the women's side, in Tokyo event a couple weeks back, we had Wozniacki winning that event, which is a great result for her. She carries some nice momentum after the U.S. Open. In Wuhan, we had Kvitova winning that title, so another big title for her after being relatively sparse this year, and she even admitted that she's not the type of player who's going to come in with rock star results every single week. So she's going to be a little bit sporadic, but you know, when she comes in good, she comes in good with a really big result. And then tonight, in a few short hours, we're going to have the Beijing final between Radwanska and Konta. Konta has just actually reached the top 10, so that's a great result for her. And you know, we'll see how that match unfolds. On the men's side, we've had some interesting developments, Parsa, that, you know, stuff that we've been talking about now for a couple of years. We're talking about the young, you know, the next generation and the youngsters coming in. And really nice to see, for instance, like Lucas Pouille winning his maiden title in Metz. Home crowd advantage there took him to the title. Then we had Alex Zverev winning in St. Petersburg. You know, great result for him. And then we had Karen Khachanov. You know, huge Russian, reminds me a little bit of Murat Safin back in the day, won in Chengdu last week. You know, amazing result for him. So we're seeing some of the youngsters, you know, guys 22 and under. And then tonight we have Nick Kyrgios going up against David Goffin in the Tokyo final, pardon me. So that's going to be one to watch there. So let's see what Nick can do there. But nice to see those guys that I mentioned, those younger guys, get those W's, get those tournament victories, and propel themselves. Like, you know, Karen Khachanov is top 55 player now. Lost today in the opening round of qualies for Shanghai to actually Zverev's brother, Misha. But nevertheless, you know, that's a good result for him. And now he's going to, I mean, top 55 is, you're good for, you know, the next 6-7 months. You're going to get into all the tournaments, and you're going to be cruising. Zverev, we know he's been there. He could probably, most likely, is going to end the year top 20. Same with Lucas Pouille. You know, Kyrgios is top 15. He's trying to make a push. Have been really, really impressed with him, Parsa, this week in taking out Harrison, getting that walkover against Stefanik in round two. Defeated Gilles Muller, you know, routine there. And then what a match against Monfils last night. Took him out 4-4. Played a very mature match. And we'll see if he has anything left in the tank tonight against Goffin. You know, Goffin's steady. He's not going to overpower him, but he's just going to be a backboard out there and get everything back. Those are typically the type of players that bother Kyrgios, because he likes to pull the trigger a little bit earlier, and if he's not on, he's going to misfire, and then he's going to be, you know, it's going to be curtains. So going to see how that develops. Any interesting storylines for you as we obviously inch closer to the end of the season, the WTA finals in Singapore, and then the ATP World Tour finals a little bit later in London?
Yeah, I mean, I think Sharapova's ban getting reduced, I think that's some big news, and of course, she's showing some feistiness going after the ITF. I think that's some, you know, even further than sports news. I think that got onto mainstream media news, and you know, something definitely worth chatting about just a little bit, and you know, kind of seeing how, you know, she's made her plea that it's sort of an entrapment that happened there, and how other organizations and other sports warned their athletes that, you know, they were testing positive for a substance that is now illegal, and how the ITF failed to do that. I think that's very, very worthy. And in tennis or tennis-specific related news, I think, you know, following the pursuit of Andy Murray's or following Andy Murray's pursuit of number one and following for Novak Djokovic, I think is going to be an interesting one for the fall season. I think he's really trying to make a push, and I think it starts right here in Shanghai.
It certainly does. So let's just touch quickly on Sharapova, because this week's show is geared a little bit more towards the ATP. You know, her, obviously, she's coming back. She'll be back next April, so she'll be ready to go before the French Open. She will also miss the Australian Open. So I believe that's a total ban of 15 months that she received. You know, she's going to get wild cards until the end of her career. That's not going to be an issue. She can play anything she wants. Everybody wants her at their events. But in terms of, it's an interesting thing because, you know, at the end of the day, she took something that has now been deemed a performance-enhancing substance, bottom line, because otherwise, why would it be banned, right? She took it, I mean, because it was not banned. It has obviously been banned in the U.S., but not in Russia. So there's a little bit of a gray area all around, right? Like, is she at fault to some degree? Absolutely. Because like we've said in previous podcasts, you know, she's got a team. She's a multi-$100 million athlete. You know what I'm saying? This is not somebody who's struggling in any way. So she has a massive team that should be right on top of this stuff. Now, does she have a point that the ITF should give her a heads up? You know what I mean? Not on January 1st, hey, listen, this is banned now, instead of, you know, a couple weeks before. Perhaps. I don't know exactly those logistics. I mean, we may never know. But the bottom line is that at the end of the day, she was at fault, and she's paid for that, and she was out for 15 months. They wanted to initially ban her for 4 years, which would have been, you know, tremendous. Let's be honest. Then, you know, 2 years was floating around. Now she got 15 months. So she'll be back next year. To me, you know, she said in a couple of interviews with Charlie Rose, and she had a couple other interviews, that, you know, she's a born warrior and she's a fighter, and I don't disagree with that to any extent. But when it comes down to it, it's going to be an interesting dynamic for me next year, parts of how she rebounds, because, you know, Serena is obviously, she's got some other things on the go. She was at Beyonce's concert last night dancing, and I don't know if she's even going to play for the rest of this year. It doesn't look like she's too adamant of catching Kerber for the number one ranking for this year. It looks like she will zero in for Australia for next year, which is totally fine. But, you know, she's 35, and by that time it's some change, and, you know, everybody's getting older. But it could be a time for, you know, Sharapova to come in and have one last, you know, dance here and do something. It's going to be tough, because when you're out of competition for that long, you're obviously going to lose a little bit of that competitive edge. Players are not going to be as scared of you. So it's going to be interesting, but you can bet your bottom dollar that she's going to be out there, she's going to be fighting and giving it 100%.
Absolutely. I mean, I couldn't really agree more than what you said. And you know, logistically talking, you know, I think her comparison was valid in that she compared it to other organizations that had a similar situation, and they did warn their players, and in effect, by not specifically warning a player that you knew was taking a now banned substance, and personally making sure that they knew, and embarrassing the sport and embarrassing the person, you know, they didn't do that. So I understand her, and I don't think in any way, shape, or form has she ever not said that she didn't do something wrong. You know, like she is, from the start, has said that she should have been looking through the list and should have been more responsible. And I think that's the reasonable conclusion that the Court of Arbitration came to with her. So I think they were actually very, very good, and it was a very well done case study that they put together, and I think they got it right. 15 months is right. She misses every single slam once, and know, and we move on.
And we certainly do move on. Okay, so, I mean, you know, time will tell. You know, she's on Instagram all the time putting up videos. She's training in L.A., and she's, you know, she's been grinding out there. And so wish her all the best. You know, she's good for the game overall, and, you know, we'll see how she rebounds early next year. Now, moving on to the men's, you know, the men's draw here in Shanghai. It's a good tournament because, for me, I think it highlights, obviously, a lot of guys are still trying to get into London because only three players, I believe, have officially qualified, being the Grand Slam winners of this season, which is Djokovic, Murray, and Stan. Everybody else is pretty much still vying for that, you know, those last five positions. We had some interesting developments with Djokovic taking off this week in Beijing, a tournament where he's absolutely rolled and dominated now Parsa for many years. He hasn't lost a match here, I don't even know, maybe 5 years or whatever it's been. So it's been an awfully long time. But he decided to you know, withdraw with an elbow injury. He is in Shanghai right now. He's the winner of Ramos, Vinolas, and Fognini in his first match. But before we break down that match, it was interesting for me to hear an interview from Novak saying that his priorities now going forward are not to be number one in the world and are not to win Grand Slams. But they're obviously, if the Grand Slam glory comes to him, he will embrace it and all of this jazz. So first of all, it got me thinking. First of all, what is he talking about? Second of all, what is he going to be gearing up for? Just to stay healthy, which is obviously very valid. Is it to win 500s? Is it to win Masters events? I mean, what is, like, at that stage, you know, you got 12 majors, you're still the undisputed number one player in the world. Why are you still not thinking about being number one and having Grand Slam glory? Then, you know, then I went back on that thought and I said, okay, well, you know, this guy just completed the career Grand Slam at the French Open. And if you look at his results relatively from there, because for any other player, they would be stellar, he has struggled, right? Lost third round of Wimbledon, won Toronto, pulled out of Cincy, lost first round of the Olympics, lost finals of US Open. So, I mean, these are obviously some great results, but not to, you know, Djokovic's standards. So now you have a situation where Murray's coming in full force. He's playing the finals in Beijing tonight against your boy Grigor Dimitrov. And he's going to try to, he's obviously favored to win that match. And he's got a really good chance now of ending this year number one. If he plays, he signed up also Vienna in his schedule for Andy. So he's going to be playing a ton of tennis. He's playing this week, he's playing Vienna, he's going to play Paris, he's going to, you know, World Tour Finals. So there's a lot of points up for grabs. And it looks like he's going to grind his way through because that's clearly the missing component in Murray's resume right now, to be the number one ranked player in the world. So, you know, explain to me your thoughts on Djokovic, why he's saying what he's saying, what his mindset is. Is it kind of like to deter the pressure, which is not really in his realm because he really embraces pressure? And then what's Murray's mindset? Do you think he's going to burn out or do you think he's going to come full steam forward and potentially end the year number one?
I mean, in terms of Djokovic's mindset, I don't really get it.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure what elite athlete says such a thing. So that's just a strange revelation there, and who knows what's going on behind the scenes. I think it'll come out, and we need a little bit more information to kind of judge there. But you're the undisputed king right now, and for you to basically walk off the throne, which is basically what he's saying, is bizarre. It's bizarre behavior, and not really sure what it's all about, to be honest with you. I can't speculate.
Do you think some of that has to do with, you know, there's always a threshold. You know, we've talked about that ourselves, right? Like, there's always a price that you pay and all of that jazz. So, you know, this is a guy who's been beyond ultra professional, doing, you know, leaving no stone unturned and just, you know, going at it and, you know, doing everything at 100% to get to where he has to get to. And he's won every Grand Slam, most of the Masters 1000s, the World Tour Finals. I mean, you name it. Yeah, he hasn't won the Olympic gold medal, but apart from that, he's been, you know, A+. So with that said, now he's coming in, maybe mentally he doesn't have anything left. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying that, and I don't believe what I'm saying myself, but you know, I'm just trying to come up with a reason as to why he would come up with such a statement. But I guess time will tell. I mean, it'll be interesting to see physically how he rebounds. I still don't think he's 100%. And you know, this is a tough draw, as we'll get into shortly. But we shall see. But before we break the draw down, Parsa, just a couple words on Murray and his quest in becoming the number one player. And if you think he will achieve that.
I think he definitely will achieve it.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope this Djokovic talk isn't a discredit to what Murray has put his mind to since he returned back with Lendl.
Yes.
That was the goal, and that was pre, you know, any of this Djokovic talk that he's, you know, that he's not looking, I don't know, to be number one anymore, because it's, he's got Murray hot on his heels, and he's got Stan that's there and pushing him as well. And so how much for a second here do you appreciate Sampras, you know, finishing 5 years world number one, always being the top gun, and the wear and tear that took to do it for 5 years. And you're seeing these guys after a couple of years really having trouble sort of staying there and holding it. It's different being the best and having your target on your back every single day. And I think it is Murray's turn, and I think he's going to do it.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with you. It's just, it's more a question of, you know, where it's going to happen instead of when it's going to happen. So we shall see. So Parsa, jumping into the draw right now, we have Djokovic facing, as I mentioned, against Ramos, Vinoles, or Fognini. I foresee him definitely getting through there. Going forward, you know, Dimitrov's going to have a tough one against Gasquet. Gasquet has kind of dropped off. He's had some injury concerns, so I don't know how well he's going to play. Potentially, you know, Karlovic playing qualifier in his first match. Watch out for him to even get to the quarterfinals, and then, you know, he could even potentially even beat Djokovic. I'm not sure. I mean, it's not, I wouldn't put that out of the question, but it could happen. But with everything, I mean, look, can we still, I mean, is Djokovic in a position where you can discredit him from, you know, winning this event? Absolutely not, especially looking at his record here in Shanghai the last few years. It's been, again, Asia's, yes, he's rolled through Asia. So I got to put him, you know, right there in the semifinals once again. And then what do you have going on with that one?
It's an impossibility that it's, you got me confused and stumped with this Djokovic talk. And so we're going to find out, I guess, pretty quickly in his first couple of matches where his head really is at. But I'm going to go with the Djokovic I've come to know, and I've got him in the semi as well. I think with some tests, though, Nima, I think it's going to be a little bit of a battle and sort of interesting in that, will he find the resolve to come back and figure out matches and sustain and suffer in order to get to the end? You know, what is he exactly saying with those words? It remains to be found, seen. But semifinals for me.
Yeah, and you know what? Like you said, there are going to be some tests, because we've got some other guys like Nick Kyrgios, who's playing amazing right now. We'll see how he rebounds today against Goffin, and he's going to have to play first round probably Monday, maybe Monday, Tuesday, right? Same with Dimitrov, because these guys are not seated high enough to get a bye, so they're not coming in on Wednesday like Djokovic is. So that's going to be a tough turnaround for these youngsters, especially if they both win these events. If Dimitrov beats Murray today, and if Kyrgios beats Goffin. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic for me. And then on the flip side, they could both crash out in the first round and then completely make it more of a cakewalk for Djokovic to go through. In the second quarter, we have Rafa Nadal, who lost a really poor match to Grigor this week in Beijing, Parsa. And, you know, I felt bad watching it, because he really had nothing in that match. Forehand was misfiring. His serve was just horrendous. And I'm sitting there scratching my head, like, is he kind of holding back because of his wrist? Is it not, you know what I mean? Like, because you want to feel loose and just really let that snap. You know, you were making that observation, you know, when we watched Kyrgios play at the U.S. Open on the old grandstand. How he's so relaxed at the, you know, at the drop of his swing, and then just goes up and he hammers it. And Nadal has never been that type of a server, but he obviously he still needs to be loose so he can snap through and use it the way that he uses it, right, with the spin and the leftiness. And he just does not have that right now. And a guy like Dimitrov, who's not known as a great returner, broke him 5 times. And I mean, that's, you know, that cannot, he even said himself, that cannot continue. Rafa, you know, on a brighter note, he's playing in the finals tonight against Tomic and Jack Sock with partner Karina Busta in the doubles final. So hopefully he'll get some confidence for that and try to transcend that into Shanghai. Rafa's road looks like Victor Troicki in his first match. We have Bautista Agut, who could be lurking with Tomic. You know, there's guys like Sanga, Cilic. So it's, I don't think it's a cakewalk, and I don't see Nadal reaching the semis. And, you know, Tsonga is the defending finalist here. I don't think he makes it either. I'm going with Cilic to make the semis here. And Parsa, before I let you jump in here quickly with some thoughts, I was thinking about Marin Cilic. And, you know, we talked about him at the US Open and how he's not the flashiest guy and all of this stuff. But, you know, what a great time in his career I think this is right now. He's got a lot of experience. He's already won a major. He knows he's never going to be, you know, that guy who's going to be number one in the world and cruising. But I think he plays the rest of his career completely loose. And he's got the fitness. We know he's a hard worker. He's got that slam under his belt. He's gone deep in, you know, numerous other majors. And, you know, all I can say right now, Parsa, is I'm not going to go with one of those Stan Wawrinka picks that I did this year. But watch out for Cilic next year, because I think he may do something. I'm not going to say which slam he'll win, but I wouldn't be surprised if he wins a Grand Slam next year. Just because I just feel that he's in such a good part in his career, and he's got everything I think that he ever wanted, and I just think that he just plays loose, you know, for the next 4 or 5 years, and he's in good shape, and he's, you know, even Ivanisevic super fixed up his serve, and, you know, just watch out. That's my call. What are your calls on this quarter, Nadal, and what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, with Nadal, I think it's just going to be this decline. I don't think we're going to get much more. How do you feel about Stan on these courts?
Well, Stan's in the next quarter, so we're going to talk about him. And, you know, it's, so who do you have going to the semis here, first of all?
I think it's, for me, it's going to be gonna be Sanga. I think he's the one that's the most reliable right now. With Cilic, I agree with you. I think Cilic is gonna play loose, and at the same time, I think he's also gonna play loose. As funny as that sounds,
I hear you. Yeah, I hear.
And I think loose isn't necessarily the best thing. I think maybe that's what we're hearing from Djokovic, right? Is the same similar sentiment. I've done what I need to do, and now I'm just going to play it out and hope to put as many titles as I can underneath my belt. I'm not sure if that's the right mindset. You know, I think Federer's been in that mindset, and we've seen him struggle in big matches and not be able to capitalize opportunities. So how much of that is due to psychology and how much of it is actually due to physical ability? We'll never know, but you know, for these guys to follow suit, I'm not sure it's the right thing. But so for me, I think Song is the informed guy, and someone I can see in a Masters series getting to a semi for sure.
Okay, and then moving now to the third quarter, we have Milos Raonic, who had to pull out from his semifinals with Dimitrov with an ankle tear, I believe, that he has. So I don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in for this. I wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, he pulls the ripcord before, and, you know, there's going to be a lucky loser into his position. So we'll see how that transpires. Some other guys, we have Jack Sock, who has played a very limited schedule, in my opinion, this year. You know, he's getting close to a career high, but I'm still not completely sold on him and his, you know, his MO. So we'll see how he does. I mean, Ferrer's obviously in decline. Lopez still playing pretty good for his age. And then we have Stan, who you were talking about. And this is what it is. You know, this is the consistency, right? Like, you know, Stan said that he's never going to be number one. He was on a Charlie Rose interview as well after he won the U.S. Open. And he asked him, will he ever be number one? And he emphatically said no. And it was funny because, you know, it was like, okay, well, what do you mean? You know, you've won 3 Grand Slams, but you just beat Djokovic. Like, you're a great player, but he's like, I don't have the consistency week in and week out like these guys do to have that type of an accolade. So this is where it happens. Like, do you think, oh man, like, I'm not really up for this, or I can't bring my best tennis? You got to bring it. You have to push it out of yourself to become that type of a player. And he's not a spring chicken either. I mean, he's amazing. He's still very competitive, but he's not 20 anymore. And if he wants to squeeze out the next 3 or 4 years of his career at the highest echelon, he's gonna have to bring it every week. I think he's fit. You don't really see too many injuries with Stan, substantial ones. And but saying that, I think you see this as a wild card quarter, Parsa. I don't know what's gonna happen, but I don't think Stan makes the semis. I don't think Milos makes the semis. So that definitely opens the door up for maybe a guy like Feliciano Lopez, who subsequently previously has made the semifinals here. So I'm going with the wild card here and saying that Feliciano Lopez makes the semifinals. What do you have?
Quite interesting there.
Yeah.
And not far-fetched, believe it or not. I mean, it's not something that's outside the realm of possibility. You're on about Stan Wawrinka and Milos. I mean, we don't know. And Ferrer is coming off is he does he have a title, or did he get to the final, Nima?
David Ferrer?
Yeah.
No, he lost in the semis to Murray yesterday.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, he has not won a title this year, which is very atypical. But in saying that, the guy's still 13 in the world. So it's not like he dropped off to be like 67 or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, he's still as bad of a year as he has had, it's still not that bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's still close to the top 10. And who knows what the next 3 or 4 weeks, he's going to play all these tournaments. So, we'll see what happens with him.
I think it's going to be a tough section, but
Yeah.
I think opportunity knocks, and I think Stan is going to be the one here in the semi.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see it. I would love to see some consistency from him. He's a fan favorite. A lot of people really like watching him play, and it only does the tournament good when he can really advance deep. Moving now to the fourth and final quarter, we have Murray, who's obviously playing the finals tonight, as I said, against Dimitrov, and he's going to be playing second high seed here is Gael Monfils, who's put together a really good year, and he said that his mindset does not change even after, he lost to Kyrgios yesterday. He's still, full steam ahead to the tour finale. I definitely think he makes London this year, which is great for him. Really happy for him, even though I'm still kind of upset that he pulled in that tank show at the US Open semis. But for in order for Monfils to go deep here, he's going to have to get through the likes of a Kevin Anderson. But Parsa, look who's lurking once again and who showed up to play some tennis. Juan Martin Del Potro has the wild card. He plays David Goffin, and I'll tell you right now, he's going to beat Goffin, and he's going to beat either Pereira or Souza. And I'm telling you, man, that he might beat Murray too. And is it crazy for me to say that he's going to make the semifinals here? It's not.
Absolutely not.
And for that reason, I'm taking Del Potro to make the, I'm not even going to talk about anybody else. I'm going with Juan Martin Del Potro to make the semifinals. What do you have?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is Andy Murray's tournament to win or lose, and
Okay.
I think he knows what's on the line here,
Yes.
and I think we're gonna see that Lendl mindset continue, and he's got one mission on his mind, and historically he's actually done really well in the fall season. He can get on a run and just start winning matches, and for that reason and almost that reason alone, I think he's going to be able to advance that semi.
Okay, and so, Parsa, just to recap, I have Djokovic to play Cilic. I'm gonna have, and I'm not saying this unanimously, I'm gonna have Djokovic come through, and then in the bottom half, I have Feliciano Lopez versus Juan Martin Del Potro. I have Delpo coming through to face Djokovic, and I'm tempted to pick Del Potro here, but I'm gonna go with Djokovic to win this tournament.
Wow.
What's your call?
That's a pretty impressive call there.
Yes.
So I've got Djokovic, Tsonga, Stan, and Murray. And I think it's going to be a Djokovic and Murray final. I don't want it to be, but I think it is going to be, and I think we're going to get that changing of the guard match, and I think Andy Murray's going to win this thing.
Yeah, he's playing well. He's doing what he needs to do. I think he's tired. I definitely think he's played a lot of tennis this year. You know, he's been grinding, but that's what you need to do. You got to, you know, I think, you know, just to close up here, Wawrinka said it the best after he won the U.S. Open. He said, "I was prepared to suffer today." There you go. I don't need to say anything else after that. And that's what it is. You know, this is not a game of, you know, you're sitting back and people are fanning you and you're, you know, eating grapes. You know what I mean? You got to go out there and you got to bust your butt if you want to be a top echelon player. And especially for these guys, I mean, playing with that ball speed and that physicality, you got to be ready with every aspect of the game that it provides. So it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to tonight, the finals that are taking place in Asia, as well as next week in Shanghai. And if there's nothing else, Parsa, you know, I'd like to thank you for joining us this week.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, everybody out there, for listening. Make sure to follow Parsa Sammy at Parsa Sammy on Twitter, myself at Tennis Connected. Follow us for Tennis Connected on Instagram, on our Facebook page, on Twitter as well. Visit our website at tennisconnected.com. Make sure you're heading down to the Australian Open to check out the Grand Slam Tennis Tour for all your ticket and traveling needs. Thanks once again for joining us. Make sure to check us out on iTunes as well. Be good, and we will talk to you next week. We'll be right back.